This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in once again, and we trust the program will be a blessing to you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there to contact me, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. So if you'd like to contact me with the prayer requests or comments on the program, you can do that either through the website or through that address, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been dealing with three questions that are found in Genesis 3 and 4, and those three questions are, yea, hath God said, and secondly, where art thou? And the third one is a question that was raised by Cain, who had killed his brother Abel, and he says, am I my brother's keeper? Now, what we're dealing with are some of the things that have set in motion the society in which we live today, because it all started back there in the Garden of Eden when, as we have read, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And of course, the question is, what is truth today? What has God said? And are there various interpretations, various cultural things we need to consider? How can we know the truth? And of course, I'd like to spend a lot of time on how we can know the truth today, but that's not my subject for today. We do need to realize that what God has said is true, and there does need to be some understanding of how to interpret the Bible. But I think most people will understand that God had told Adam and Eve not to take of the fruit that was in the midst of the garden. They did it, and we're all suffering because they did it. And we all need to ask ourselves, what has God said? And I want to encourage you to understand that God has said that we're sinners in need of a Savior, but that Christ came to die for our sins. And apart from trusting in the truth that Christ died for our sins, will never be with God in heaven. Our sins need to be forgiven, and God has said that. He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, the second question that we dealt with is the question that was asked of Adam after he'd sinned, after he had partaken of that fruit, and God had said to him, where art thou? And the point we were trying to make there is that sin separates between us and God. And God didn't hide himself from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve hid themselves from God. And that is really the problem mankind has today. We try to justify our lifestyles and our sins, and we say times have changed, cultures have changed, standards have changed, and we've got to keep up with what is going on in society today. And as a result, instead of coming to God and trying to understand his will, we hide ourselves from God because we have a bad conscience, because we feel guilty, and because we don't want to face the fact that what we want to do is often not what God says we should do. Where art thou? Have you, and I just raise this question today, have you in any sense hidden yourself from God so that you don't have to face something that is bothering your conscience today? But the question we want to deal with today is found in chapter 4 and verse 9 of Genesis, and I'm going to read to you the verse that is on my mind. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. And that, of course, was a lie. He knew. Am I my brother's keeper? And that question has been haunting me. Am I my brother's keeper? It really affects everything that we do in life. Do we have the attitude that other people are expendable, that other people are people that we use to just accomplish our own goals, or are other people individuals that God loves and that we should be helping and that we should be concerned about? Should we be wondering how best to help our brother? And of course, Cain had been angry because Abel had offered a sacrifice that pleased God. He was not the oldest. Cain was the oldest, and Cain had tilled his field, and he had been a farmer, and he had tilled the field, and he brought an offering of the fruits of the field, and he thought that what he had brought should have pleased God, and it didn't. God had apparently given pretty clear instructions to Adam and Eve and to Cain and Abel that the only way to have sins forgiven and to worship God was to offer an animal that had had its blood shed to remind people how serious sin was and what it really took to forgive sin. And when Cain was bringing the fruit of the ground, the things that he had tilled, he was bringing what he had done. When Abel was bringing an animal that had been sacrificed, he was bringing something that had died for him, that it was a picture of what God has done for us in sending his son to the cross of Calvary. Abel's offering pleased God, Cain's did not. And Cain, instead of asking Abel, now what do I have to do what you've done, instead of taking instructions from him, instead of listening to obviously what Abel himself had listened to in order to know how to please God, he decided that if he killed Abel, he would get rid of his competition, apparently the competition that would make him pleasing to God. I don't know how his thinking could have been so convoluted. Well, how did he think that getting rid of Abel was going to change his relationship with God? How did he think that getting rid of Abel was going to make his sacrifice more acceptable? I can't understand it, but just this is the problem we have today. Religions that will not recognize the simple truth of who God is and of the need for a sacrifice that satisfies God, they can be those people that practice religions that are really pagan religions, that are really religions that are associated with nature, associated with their own thinking, associated with their own logic. They can be very, very hateful to one who tries to do what God asks and tries to do it in a simple way. And so he slew his brother, thinking that that would in some way solve his own conscience problem or whatever he was thinking. And I've often wondered what Cain was really thinking. But anyway, God had asked him, where is Abel thy brother? Do you think God didn't know where Abel was? Well, of course he knew where Abel was. But he's asking Cain to admit that he had slain his brother. And he says, but Cain wouldn't admit that. He says, am I my brother's keeper? And of course, he's really implying that he doesn't have any responsibility toward Abel, and he's not responsible for Abel. But the answer to this question should be, yes, I am my brother's keeper. So when we look at our lives today and we look at our relationship with God, we know that we have a responsibility to our brother. But if we were to look at it in New Testament terms, instead of using the term brother, and even in the Old Testament, the term might be neighbor. We might say that we are to help our or keep or be responsible for our neighbor. In fact, if we were to go to Luke chapter 10, we would read about a certain lawyer who stood up and tested the Lord. Luke 10 and verse 25, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he, that is the Lord, said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And the Lord said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So that's the problem we have today. If we are our brother's keeper, then who is our brother? And if that brother is really our neighbor, who is our neighbor? And what it really boils down to is that we all have a responsibility to those in society that we can be a help to. We have a responsibility to help them. And we as Christians, first of all, have a responsibility to those who are of the household of faith, but we have a responsibility that goes far beyond that. Because if we look at Galatians 6 and verse 10, we would find out that it says, "Do good, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith." And if I read my Bible right, we have a responsibility to our mother, our father, our relatives, and we have a responsibility to others of the household of faith, but we have a responsibility to all men as we have opportunity. And we might try to get around the question of how we help other people, how we do good to other people by saying, well, they're not my brother. They don't live in the same country I live in. They aren't of the same race that I am of. They don't belong to my family. We can use all kinds of excuses, but God has basically said that we have no excuse. We are to be our brother's keeper. We go to the Sermon on the Mount, and it says, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Well, a Jew would say that was only for other Jews that was given, but it doesn't really say that. It's a principle of the kingdom, and those of us who are saved have come into a spiritual kingdom. So that's something that we need to do, and I'm concerned today because it seems to me that mankind down through the years has found it easier to wage war, has found it easier to be cruel to people that they don't know and that they don't feel that they are akin to than it is for them to be their brother's keeper. There's a lot of people, and I know this is true, that do a good job with this, much better than I do. But we need to recognize that the people around us are people that God loves just like he loves us. And to the extent that we can be our brother's keeper, we should be our brother's keeper. We should share with them if they're hungry. We should take them to the doctor if they're in need of medical care. We should make sure that their homes are heated. We should make sure that the necessities that they need are necessities. If we have the opportunity, we should try to make sure that we make sure those necessities are met. And so we know that we raise the question, but who is my neighbor? And generally you'll find out that your neighbor is the one you probably would probably least like to help. As you go down through this parable of the Good Samaritan, you'll remember that there was a man who went from was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And when he fell among those thieves, there was a priest that went by him, and the priest wouldn't help. And there was a Levite that went by him, and the Levite wouldn't help. But there was a Samaritan that went by him, and apparently the man who fell among thieves was a Jew. And a Samaritan went by him, and the Samaritan, who was considered an outcast as far as the Jews were concerned, that man helped him. So we need to recognize that we preach the gospel because we are our brother's keeper, and we have a responsibility to be a help and a blessing to others, and the word brother is very all-inclusive. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.